Well, we are in the middle of this new little series that we started last week called A Day in the Life. And what we're doing in the series is looking at four different biblical characters, looking at a narrative portion of Scripture that kind of shows us a life in their day and some of the things that they encountered and how they brought their faith to bear on these everyday experiences. Now, some of them are extraordinary, like the one that we're going to be talking about today. And I'm talking about Daniel. And I'm going to share a little bit of his story from the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. And the whole chapter six talks about this episode in his life. But I'm going to kind of bounce around amongst some of the verses there, so we're not, you know, having to be here a real long time listening to just the reading of the Scripture, but I think it's important. And so I want to share most of it with you. And so I encourage you to listen. We're not going to put it on the screens this morning because I want you to hear the story and visualize it as I share it with you. So Daniel chapter 6. Soon Daniel distinguished himself above the other administrators and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. So the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom. But they could find no grounds for complaint or any corruption, because he was faithful and no negligence or corruption could be found in him. The men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." All the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, and the governors, all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict, that whoever prays to any god or human for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house. And his windows being open in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, so that nothing could be changed concerning Daniel. Then at dawn, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him. Also before you, O king, I have done no wrong." Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples and nations of every language that dwell in all of the earth, "Peace applied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people shall tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, and he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." This is the word of God for us, the people. pretty amazing. Ask you a question. What if somebody dug into your life? What would they find out about you? Now, I know for some of you, that might be a scary proposition. Having somebody poke around in our past, they might find some things. They might find some things that would, at minimum, embarrass us that we've done. Maybe we cheated on a test when we were in school. Some of you may have cheated on one last week. I don't know. It could be that you rolled, like TP'd, you know, toilet paper rolled the principal's yard or maybe the pastor's yard. Yeah, mine got rolled a few weeks ago because of Caroline, my daughter, being in high school. You know, it's tradition that the seniors roll the sophomore's yard. So we woke up one morning to some toilet paper. You know, those things might be embarrassing if we get caught doing them. More than likely, they're not going to wreck our life, though. There are some things that maybe some of us have done that would be borderline criminal if they were found out. But here's the deal. One day in the life of Daniel, that's exactly what happened. People started digging around in his life, his co-workers. And they went looking for some dirt to try to bring him down. And what they uncovered tells us a lot about what it looks like to live with integrity. So to recap the story for just a quick moment, if you go back and pick up in the first chapter of Daniel, you learn his story and how it begins. He was living in Jerusalem and was taken in exile to Babylon around the 6th century B.C. So that's about the time frame that he lived. So Daniel was a teenager when he went to Babylon. And because he was so talented and such a guy of had a teachable spirit and he God had given him wisdom and understanding far beyond his years, Daniel started rising in the government there. I mean, he worked in the administration of King Nebuchadnezzar's administration. And so he rises to the top. He serves under three different kings until we pick up the story in chapter 6 with Darius. And he's about to get promoted to run the entire empire. And just like today, if you get a promotion, that means that somebody else didn't. And those co-workers of Daniel, they get jealous of him. They were not celebrating him with some big party and balloons and cake because of his promotion. They're jealous, and so they start digging. They want to try to bring him down. But when they dig, you know what they find? Nothing. There were no skeletons in his closet. There was no shady business deals. There were no, you know, oops tweets that he sent out 10 years earlier that they find. There was nothing. Daniel was found, we're told in the scripture, that he was found trustworthy, that he was not guilty of any kind of corruption or negligence in his work. We get the sense that he was impeccable and he was a person of integrity. And so they come up with a plan. Well, if we can't find any dirt, then we'll make his faith his dirt. And so they convinced this king to pass this law that if anybody prayed to any god or any human other than the king for the next 30 days, that they would fall under condemnation, a sentence of being cast into a den of hungry lions. And so one day at work, Daniel finds out about this law. He hears about it, and he knows the stakes. He knows what the king is going to do. It's been signed and sealed with his own signet ring. It's irreversible. So what would Daniel do? What would you do? Well, we know that Daniel is a man of prayer. I mean, we've read about it up until this point, and we even encounter what he does in the story. He goes home at the end of the workday. He goes up to his upper room about sundown, about 6 o'clock in the evening, and he does what he always did 3 times a day. He faced Jerusalem to the west of Babylon, and he got on his knees and he prayed. This is what he does. And of course, the jealous co-workers are out there hiding in the bushes somewhere. They're trying to catch him, right? Because that's why they've concocted all of this. So they're out there with their binoculars and, oh yeah, there he is. Y'all see it? You see it? Yeah, we see it. And they go back to the palace, to the king, and they tell him what Daniel has done. We got him. Now, Darius at first doesn't want to punish Daniel because he's at the top, right? He trusts this guy. He's running the show. And so he doesn't want to pass the sentence on him. But the king has to. His law must stand. Even he can't break it. And so he goes home after bringing Daniel in and casting him down into that pit. He goes home, and that night he can't sleep. He paces the floor. Any of y'all have sleepless nights? I know sometimes I do. I get up in the middle of the night, brain just working. But this guy's under a lot of stress here about this situation. What is going to happen to Daniel? Will his God show up and actually save him? I mean, that's what Darius says. He says, basically, you're in God's hands now, buddy. He can't sleep all night. At first light, he runs to the pit. There's a big stone that's been placed over it to seal it. And Darius, he yells to the other side of that stone, Daniel, are you okay? Are you still alive? And can't you just hear there's like a moment of silence? And then he hears Daniel's voice say, long live the king. God sent a messenger. And he closed the mouths of the lions. And I'm still here. I'm alive. Daniel's lifted out of that pit, and his enemies, the ones that have dug up all this stuff against him, Darius has them and their families thrown down into that pit. And the lions didn't skip breakfast that morning. And the king then issues this decree that everyone should honor Daniel's God. The God who rescues, the one who delivers, the mighty God, he says. So what do we learn from this episode in a day in Daniel's life? We can learn a lot of things, but one thing I want to focus on today is integrity. Here's a simple definition of integrity for you to hold on to. Integrity means that you don't change your values no matter what room you're in. You don't change who you are based on where you are. That you're always the same person. You're the same person whether you're on the job, trying to impress the boss. You're the same person at home. You're the same person in the trials and tribulations of life. And you're the same person on the other side in the victories of life. No matter where you are, you don't change your values. That's a pretty good definition of integrity, isn't it? Well, let's break down a couple of principles from this story to help us. The first thing I want to talk about is be the same person everywhere. Let's unpack that a little bit more. So Daniel prayed just as he had always done. He didn't change when the pressure started to rise. Y'all, integrity isn't just about what people see. It's about who you are when nobody sees. Y'all, we live in a culture where it's easy to have multiple versions of ourselves. We can have the Instagram self. We can have the workplace self. We can have the church self. And we can have the real self, the real you. You see, we learn to operate in all of these different settings, and sometimes we compromise on things in order to fit in those different arenas of life. But integrity means that there's only one you. One you, not the church you, and the friend you, and the good time you, but there's just one you, just one person. No double life. You know, how many times have we seen a leader who's lived a double life? We've seen that exposed. You know, we saw this a while back with somebody that was kind of a celebrity comedian in the Christian world. His name was John Crist. Debbie and I watch a lot of his videos and have seen kind of a bit of his story, how it played out. But for years, John Crist, he kept up this good Christian image. And when it was revealed that he was actually leading a double life, it all came crashing down. I mean, he was real popular on social media with all of his, you know, poking fun at Christians and church and all of that sort of thing. And this led to this big, huge fallout in his life, and he disappeared for a long time. And we all kind of wondered what happened to him. But then something amazing happened. He was honest about his struggles. And he went into rehab for his addictions. And he started talking about those struggles, and he got transparent about it. Real open and honest. And people started to pay attention. And they started to listen to him. And what they discovered, that he was just a real guy, just like all of us. And just like real people, there were real struggles in his life. He wasn't perfect. And his story is a chapter of redemption. And you know, honesty and what people not we see this in Daniel. He's the same person everywhere. And even his enemies will only trap him if it involves his devotion to God. So integrity is about being the same person everywhere. A second thing is integrity is awesome, but Godful. We see that in his story too, don't we? Daniel's integrity didn't keep him from that lion's den. Actually, his integrity is why he ended up there. Life deals that sort of thing out sometimes, doesn't it? We get attacked because of integrity. But let's be honest. We don't think it'll happen to us. Sometimes we think if we just do the right thing, that life will be smooth sailing for us. But that's not always the case. Daniel shows us this. Being a person of integrity can cost you your job. It can cost you relationships. It can cost you opportunities. But the presence of God is worth so much more than those things. The thing with Daniel's story is, he went into that lion's den, but God was with him even in that place. Even in the trials he experienced because of him being a person of conviction, of wanting to honor God in every phase and stage of his life. Because of that, God goes with him even in that trial. He did not lose God's presence. You know, I've heard stories of people being pressured to fudge numbers at work or to keep quiet about something unethical that's going on in order to get ahead. Y'all, we hear stories about this. But we don't just hear those stories, y'all. In this community, those stories have been lived out. We know what this community went through 2 decades ago, a little more than that, with WorldCom. You know, every time we drive by the interstate out here, we see that big building, and we remember. We remember what happened there with Bernie Ebers and how the largest bankruptcy in U.S. history happened. You know, he was imprisoned. Bernie was for this fraud that led to the company's collapse in 2002. And because he lacked integrity, a lot of people suffered. You know, it's tempting to compromise, especially when there's a financial gain involved. But the peace of knowing that you're right with God is priceless. Integrity may cost you something, but compromise costs you everything. So integrity is costly, but when we stand up for our convictions and for what is right, we know that God is faithful. Last thing I want to mention here points people to God and not us. Walked out of a pit. I did. No. He immediately prayed to God. The mouths of the lion. It's my football season. We're about to get real excited here in just another week or two with football. And, you know, the thing about athletics is, you know, a lot of times after the game, you see the athlete there on the camera and the media's there, and they're asking them about the game and how it went and how they were able to do all these tremendous things. And many of them, they start off by giving praise to God. They acknowledge, yeah, the game wasn't perfect. We threw some interceptions out there. It didn't go according to the game plan exactly. But, you know, God is good, and I give glory to God. They kind of sing a little doxology there. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I think a lot of times it's very genuine. I see. You know, we read about their stories. We know them to be anchored in their faith. Because of that, they give God the glory. Daniel's doing that. His life pointed straight to God. And even Darius the king said, Daniel's God did this. He is the rescuer. He is the one who delivered. And he is the living God. And so he issues the decree that everybody should acknowledge Daniel's God. You know, true integrity doesn't make people admire us, but it helps them to see God. And it helps to see Him more clearly. That how God is the source at work in our life that keeps us grounded, that gifts us and gives us all these wonderful abilities that we see displayed. That the reason there's integrity and there's strength of character, this is what God does. God gives us those gifts. We are who we are because of our faith in God. So let's bring this home. God sees the real you and the real me. You know, I told the praise band a minute ago when we were upstairs. I said, y'all, I preach to myself before I ever preach to y'all. Every sermon is for me, and I just let you in on it. I always look at myself. And you know, I know God sees us. There's no hiding. There's no filters. And you know, sometimes that can be terrifying. Because some of us know that our record isn't perfect. It's not spotless. We've cut corners. We've lived double lives at times. We've hidden things in the dark. But here's the gospel. God doesn't reject the real you. He redeems the real you. That's the work He's into. You know, I was thinking about some stories in the Bible where we see this lived out. Peter is one of them, right? He had some failures. But Jesus came to him after the resurrection and restored Peter. After his own lack of standing strong in the midst of people asking him questions about, aren't you with that man, Jesus? And he said, no, I don't even know him. If God can redeem folks like that, surely He can redeem you, forgive you, and give you grace. And then I thought about the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, the story goes, there's a man walking along a road and some robbers attack him, beat him, throw him in a ditch, and leave him dead. That guy didn't do anything. He had a bad day. And somebody did something terrible to him. He was a victim of the lack of integrity of other people. But Jesus, like the Good Samaritan, comes along, helped that man out of that ditch, bandaged his wounds, paid some money so that he could be healed and restored. Sometimes God does that in our story too. Get wounded. Maybe somebody did something really terrible to you. I'm sorry. And it breaks my heart sometimes to know what we can do to each other. But you aren't alone. We serve a God that can rescue, heal, deliver, write a new chapter in your life. The question really becomes, will we trust Him to do it? When we failed, or when somebody's failed and harmed us? So here's the invitation. Where is your integrity being tested right now? Are you the same person everywhere you go? Are you willing to trust God even if it costs you something? And will you trust God with that hurt that you carry? Trusting He can bring healing. I want to invite the band to come back up here. We're going to prepare to close out the service. And we're going to pray. And I want to lead us in a moment of prayer. I want us to think about those questions. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that You would show us the places in our life where we've not been living with integrity. Maybe there's been some fear over standing up for what we know is right and good and honest. God, You have called us to be people who stand strong. Lord, we have a message to share. I pray for those that are feeling some pressure at work or at school or in their family to not hide their faith. But Lord, help them to be a light in those places. And God, I know that sometimes we do fall. We make mistakes. We fail. But God, You are so faithful. Would You restore those that have been living in the darkness? Lord, there's nothing that we bring into the light that You can't heal and forgive. Yeah, it may cost us, but God, You are faithful. Lord, I pray that for those that have been wounded by the sins of others, for people that have acted not with integrity, Lord, heal the scars that come from these wounds and restore us where we've been hurt. Write a new chapter, God. Let there be justice. Let us be delivered from that shame, from that anger. Let us know Your peace in our lives, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I couldn't help but think about, as I was singing that, Daniel walking away from that pit singing that song. Man, that's powerful. That's good stuff, Tom. Thank you. Thank you, band. Y'all are amazing today. Thank y'all. We do have much to be grateful for today. I want to send you with this benediction. Go now in the confidence of Daniel, trusting the God who rescues and saves, for He is the living God. And His kingdom will never be destroyed. This journey we're on, it's leading somewhere. Somewhere glorious and great. And if we stick with it, if we persevere, all will be joy. And all will be glorious. So may God's presence shut the mouth of fear in your life. And may His Spirit give you courage to live with integrity. And may His glory, may it shine through you as you stand strong and faithful so that others will see God at work in your life and honor Him. Go in peace and love. And I know He'll go with you. So God bless you. Go in peace.